the
There's prophet. Rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
We'll put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for...
Jones. Radio
program. And now for something completely different.
Party on.
A party on? Did I just get a party on out of you, Lou? That wasn't a party on out of you?
No. My name is Wayne Campbell.
No, it's not. It's Lewis Jones. You're delusional, Lou.
No.
Well, it's Tuesday, and it's another chance for you folks to hear what I like to call Fat Man Radio. I've been looking at pictures of myself and video of myself all day doing some editing. I'm a fat man. I'm a fat, bulbous man.
Does anyone else smell bacon?
Somebody say bacon?
Say, I smell bacon.
So, this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. It is Tuesday, the 21st of September. If I was doing it military, it would be 21 September 2010. It was about 5.03 p.m. Pacific time. If it's a replay, you're hearing it any other time, don't call in. We got our phone working. I'll give out that phone number right now. If you'd like to call into the show with your comments and critiques, information that you may have, there's a lot of stuff going on right now out there. We're going to jump in right away. But the phone number, get your crayon ready. I like saying that. I know people get annoyed when I say get your crayon. Get your strawberry ready and write it on the wall. Yeah, blue collar comedy, whatever it was. 559-561-8225. So that's 559-561-8225. Now, we tested it. Stacy called and it worked. So if we have problems, it's not on our end.
It's your fault.
It's your fault, and you need to take your phone and smash it. If you call in and we can't talk to you and you can't hear us or it squeals or burps or whatever, you need to take your phone outside, find a rock, and smash your phone. If you're in the house and it's a hard line, I want you to throw your phone. First, fill the tub full of soapy water and throw the phone in it. That'll clean it out real good right there.
Can I call you?
No, you can't. Ah, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Not much has happened since yesterday. The insomnia is still kicking in. I finally fell asleep at about 3 in the morning, but I've been using it to my advantage. I've been editing. We wanted to show the video on You Broadcast, but every time Lee tries to do it, it crashes the Manny Cam. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That sounds gay. It's the Manny Cam. Mannycam.com. For some reason, it won't work on that computer. It's like every one of our computers has something wrong with it. Just like our cars. It's kind of funny. Well, Stacy's computer, because we haven't touched it yet. We haven't let Lou or me near it. It's working fine. So we should just leave it alone and let that thing work. So everything's going good with us. Nothing's changed since last night. We watched Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man, which wasn't at all what I imagined. I thought it was going to be like Vincent Price-y kind of thing, but it was more like a whodunit with an invisible guy in it, so I highly recommend it.
I have whodunit.
You have Who Done It?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the other Abbott and Costello Who Done It?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another one they do. So it was pretty good. We just got done watching a couple episodes of The Young Ones. Those of you that are probably in a different age bracket have no idea what I'm talking about, but it was a British show that ran on MTV and on PBS and a few places. It had like a hippie, like a disco guy, an anarchist, communist, and then like this headbanger slash punk guy in it. I don't know if you guys ever saw The Young Ones, but I like it. It's hard. It's funny. When I was younger, I could understand what they were saying.
Yeah.
You know, British humor is hard to take.
Yeah.
So we watched The Young Ones, so I'm kind of in this loud, obnoxious attitude. That's why we were playing around with the sound effects. Lou's gonna bang his head on the table now. He's gonna mimic what he sees on the screen. So
jump through the wall.
You gotta jump through the wall, jump through a window, eat nothing but lentils. That's what these guys do. I just like it because they make the every punchline in it's about the hippie. You know, dirty low life scumbag hippie. You know, it's like, you know, I feel worse than a what? And he goes, what? He goes, a hippie. So good. Well, there's a few folks in the chat room right now. We've got Scotty38, so we know we're going out over our CB Channel 2 in the Finger Lakes region of New York. We got Red Pill in there. Welcome. We've also got Olima. She was with us yesterday, as it turns out. She was a guestie. So I was glad. We were worried about her. We didn't know where she was. And, of course, Stacy's in there. Lou and I are in there, and we have just one guest right now. We got one guest, so welcome everyone. Welcome to the pod people who will be downloading this in the middle of the night, you know, or whatever they listen. We got so many people that listen late at night, it's kind of funny. Sometimes they call, the phone will ring because they'll think it's live. And it's like if they're listening on you broadcast because it loops, but that's okay. So if you're going to call in now. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, I got to adjust my mic here. Forgive me, guys, I got to lean forward a little bit. If you listen to Mark Kornke's intelligence report this morning on Liberty Tree Radio, he was talking about some surprising information. He had a caller call up. And in Kentucky, there's a group of military officers, or maybe it was Tennessee. I'm not going to repeat his show, but you guys will get the gist from what I tell you. A group of military officers that are going out and inquiring with realtors about farming acreage that can support families out of the cities. There's been a huge influx of it. And I usually don't share things with you unless you get two or three reports from different known sources. So this has been vetted that they are, in fact, seeing military personnel going out, getting out of the cities. And when asked why, those that are willing to talk are saying that 2 months ago they were told they had about 4 months before things really get ugly in America. We hear this all the time. We get these reports all the time, but it kind of coincides with Lindsey Williams.
I think I found out how to get the video playing.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll try it. And, you know, let me know when you're ready. Let me finish the story. Let me finish the story, and then we'll do it right afterwards. Good work, Lou. And they're being told to buy huge supplies of food. I got a call from a friend of the show who has a military friend who went out and bought like a year's supply of food, flopped down several $1,000s. I checked around with some people that I know that are currently in the military, and they're saying, well, yeah, we've heard kind of the same thing, that somewhere around November things are going to get pretty ugly for the economy and that it'd be better if we weren't in the cities. Again, we get these kind of reports all the time. They could be rattling the tree, shaking the tree to see where the peaches fall so they can stomp on us. But just be advised that if you've got some military friends, especially officers, my baby's stepdaddy is an officer. Well, he's a civilian in the Navy now. He's a civilian advisor. But I'm going to make contact with him and see what he's heard. Because he's been bugging me a lot lately about survival stuff.
Really?
Yeah, my ex's husband. He's a good man. And he says, well, you know, she doesn't want to let me talk about it, you know, because you are all into that. But, you know, what should I do? What should I get? You know, and I've been giving him advice, you know, over email on what kind of equipment to get, because he's got my daughter most of the time. I want him to be prepared because, you know, we're going to have to fight our way up there to get her. But just keep a lookout. Now, Lindsey, what is the name of the guy? Lindsey Williams was saying the same kind of thing, and the time frames kind of coincide. A lot of different information coming from different directions that focus on it. You know, and then I'm hearing the people, oh, Obongo's not going to give up power. He'll declare martial law. They said the same thing about Bush, same thing about Clinton. But this one's a little weird. When people put their money into action, such as these military officers that are buying up farms and buying up bulk foods, you know, that says a little bit more. So be on the lookout. Okay, Lou, what do you got here for us? You think you can make it play? Those of you, this is only going to be for the people that are on you broadcast are going to see this. Otherwise, you're just going to hear a couple songs for like 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes. We've got a little video here. It's a recruiting video that we're working on here at the church to try and convince other churches to start militias. And I just wanted to kind of put it out there right now. You'll see it before anybody else, and we'll just see what happens. Go ahead and play. Okay. I guess there's a little bit of lag there. We're seeing it. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. Let me know, especially folks in the chat room there, if you saw it. Those of you that are listening on other streams didn't get to see the imagery. But that is our militia, plus or minus a few guys that weren't in a couple of those images or videos there. And what we're doing is we want to let me turn this up a little bit. We want to send that out. Oh, thanks, Red Pill. The whole point of that video is we want to send it out to churches. Along with some supportive material on Bible verses and other books that have been written to tell them that they have a duty to start a militia. That the first militias in the Bible were started by, you know, godly men. And it drives me nuts when everybody wants to separate, oh, you can't be a Christian and be in a militia. You can be a Christian and be in a militia, but it can't be a Christian militia, let's put it that way. They like doing that. And showing that, you know, we're not even as hardcore as some militias, but we're far more hardcore than just about any church I know. I've been to a couple of churches that claim, you know, they're a bunch of good old boy rednecks. Oh yeah, we're ready, but they don't do any of the organized training like we do. They don't incorporate the children into it. You saw in that video, you saw my son Lewis, who's 14, who happens to be probably one of the best shots in the militia here. And you also saw my daughter and the pastor's son during a Bible study that we did. Every time we do a training, we usually do some type of invocation or something, and we were, you know, just circled around under a tree while somebody led a Bible study, and my daughter and the pastor's son, what is he, four now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're being exposed to it. Yeah, he was three when that was shot, but being exposed to a bunch of guys in camouflage, and it shows, if you listen to yesterday's show, did you see the menagerie of camouflage that we have? And of course, the big, fat, handsome guy with the outrageous sideburns was me. And you see a little mix of what I wear. And I did have black BDUs on. Yeah, I was bagging on people with black BDUs yesterday.
Oh, the guy with the Buddy Holly glasses.
Yeah, and Lou was the Buddy Holly glasses. I didn't have my Buddy Holly glasses yet. And the Confederate hat. What did they say? How was the instructor at that one? The boy with the funny hat.
I don't think he knew.
He was from Poland, so I don't think he knew what the Confederate flag was. We educated him later. But that's kind of the thing we're doing. Now, I originally did that video. It was like 8 minutes long, and it was all, you know, it showed all kinds of stuff that nobody would care about. I shortened it down to, like, I don't know, probably, what was it, 3 minutes? If that.
246.
246. Just so we could promote people. We're going to put it up on YouTube probably tomorrow, unless there's a couple things I'd like to tweak in there. A couple of the images you couldn't see them too good. Lewis was telling me the aspect ratio was off, so we'll work on those. Lewis is training me how to use the software, and I'm teaching him how to edit a good video. I'm the storyteller. He's the technical guy, so we work well together. But we want to get that video out there. We'll get it up on the website. And when we get it up on YouTube, I'll let you know so you guys can paste it everywhere. I'll probably add, like, the church's website and our website in there, you know, something later. But just for now, that's what we got done. So what happens when you have insomnia and you start trying to figure out how your computer works. You know, you try and tweak stuff.
So dying is like sleeping, but I have insomnia.
Yeah, dying is like sleeping, but I have insomnia. Then you'll never die. That's from the young ones. Boy, my glasses are totally fogging over. I can't even see Lou. I gotta look out, like, out of the side of my glasses. Humidity must be higher here than I thought, or it's just me. Just me sweating. Get in this room and my glasses fog over. They don't do it anywhere else but here in the studio. It's kind of funny, kind of funky. If you're just tuning in, the good news is we do have the phone line back. We tested it. Stacy called me from across the street. What we did is we ran it through a secondary amplifier and reduced the modulation, and I don't know how we did it, but it just works now. But the phone number to call in is 559-561-8225. Boy, a bunch of people just got bumped. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. If you want to call in and, you know, tell me that video sucked and you could do better, we could argue about that or something. Or, you know, if you just want to call in and comment and tell me what you thought. I've got an article here that was sent in by Chuck, our friend in OK in Oklahoma. Now, this is, you know, sometimes I focus a little too much on the United States and I forget that we have an international audience. You know, we've got folks in New Zealand. I don't think we have anybody actually in Tasmania. I wish we did. Europe, parts of Asia. Albert Einstein was born in Tasmania. Lou's learning that as a homeschool.
No, just kidding.
But our friends to the north is, like, you know, the Canadians from Canada. I make fun of them, and I think I have a right to. But sometimes, you know, we have to point out when stuff up there is just going wrong too. Just because they're Canadian and they're into, you know, Canadian bacon and toques and and their language is all messed up, and they allow French cities to exist within
their
borders.
Heads, you know, when they talk.
Yeah, and their heads are kind of weird, too. If you ever watch South Park, the Canadians on South Park are hilarious. I think it frightens me that up until 9/11, that the Canadian border was the longest unpatrolled border in the world. And see what happened? You know, a lot of, you know, see what happened? You know, we should have kept an eye on them. Well, here, this is from, typical Canadian name, Laura Baziuk, B-A-Z-I-U-K, from Post Media News. Officials in British Columbia's Okanagan Valley plan to use camera-equipped garbage trucks to film what gets dumped in order to make sure people are recycling properly. I used to make jokes about the recycling Nazis when they started this thing, when you get the different bins. Well, Canada, and I'm sure there's several cities in California, but these guys are going to put cameras in the truck with a timestamp on them so that they know if you're putting, you know, cardboard in the regular refuse or you're throwing beer cans out with the lawn products. Since the introduction last year of a 3-bin system providing garbage, recycling, and yard waste bins, waste contamination has become a big problem, said Peter Rothelsdeisler. Some Jewish name. Manager of waste reduction in the Central Okanagan Region District. While the system has helped to keep more material out of the landfill, it costs about $300,000 a year to pull out any material in the wrong place. The cameras will be able to record what is thrown out so city staff will have proof of bad behavior. See here? Social engineering in your trash, folks. I'm going to read that again. The cameras will be able to record what is thrown out so city staff will have proof of bad behavior. We're not watching people, he says. We're looking for material types, paper, cardboard, garbage in the wrong spot, says Mr. Rothelsdeisler, Jewish name guy. Mixing things like cardboard, batteries, or electronics in with the garbage will net a warning from the city and a fine of up to 100, whatever they use up there, 100 queen bills.
Pesos.
Or pesos. Isn't it pesos in Canada?
Yeah.
Pesos. Or even the canceling of curbside pickup. Isn't it amazing? They're going to monitor your trash now in Canada. You know, if there's anybody that's a little bit ahead of the slippery slope than we are, it's Canada. You know, as far as, you know, here on this continent. The Canadians, they're already uptight about everything. You ever been to Canada? It's like, if you litter in Canada, I think you get beaten to death and thrown, you know, north of the Arctic Circle to survive on your own, if they don't kill you, that is. Everything about Canada just seems uptight and pseudo-European. That's why I don't like Canada. But now they want to put cameras on the truck. Next, it'll be cameras in the trash cans, so they can actually see who put it in. And can you imagine, you get your bill from the trash, $100 fine, because, you know, your kid accidentally put a ho-ho box or whatever in with the garbage instead of the recyclables?
No.
Talk about a nanny state thing. And you know if Canada's doing it, California, Massachusetts, Virginia, the other hippie, you know, earth-first states are going to go nuts for this. They're going to like, hey, that's a great idea. It has nothing to do with you know, forcing recycling. It has to do with another revenue generator. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And I got a great picture here of a Canadian landfill, and I zoomed in on it, and it's all like bacon, Blatt's beer, LeBlatt's beer, is that what that is? It's like, you know, all mixed in, and they have to pay like retarded people to go in and pull that stuff out. That's what they do. Down here in California, we have the Material Reutilization Resources Facility, MRFs or something like that. I did a commercial for them one time when I was doing commercial video. And I went in there, and it was all retarded people. And I'm like, what a great way to put somebody to work. And now they want to do away with that. They want to take the job. So if you split your recycling up and put everything properly in, you're taking a job away from a retard. How dare you? So ever since I've seen that, I've always just mixed my stuff up. It drives the in-laws nuts when I go over to their house because I just like throwing everything in one bin. No, it doesn't go in there. That's not this. That's this. And I'm like, it all goes to the dump. Some retard's just going to sort it. They don't have the same experience I do in the world, so they don't realize that, you know, it's not a bad thing to do that to supply jobs. Let's see. Everybody's okay right now, and the Chinese is going to do a show. Is Dutch going to do a show today? Yeah. Yes, I'm doing a show today, Warlin. Darn tootin', I'm doing a show today. Let's go back to the news. So I want to thank Chuck for sending that in. Okay, I got to click on this. I got another one here. Paramedic. Where is this? Oh, the usual stuff. People are sending me some really good things. They're pretty much saying Secretary Napolitano is delusional. I get all that. I'm getting all the stuff about impeach Obama. Yeah, that's all good. If that's how you can spend your time and makes you feel better, go for it. But I don't see a lot of fruit coming from that. I did get one from a new listener who's actually going to be a speaker at our conference. And they sued their local community over some issues of civil rights and won, and they were surprised, they didn't get anything, but they're just going to get their fees covered. So that was a good one. Let's see.
Hot dog.
Hot dog. Have you guys seen, I gave this story to you guys a couple weeks ago, the city of Bell, California, a little tiny city full of illegal immigrants and first-generation illegals. They found out that their entire city council and senior staff were bilking the system, paying themselves three or four times for the same job, basically sitting on committees where they'd work 4 hours a week and get $8,000 a month. Well, they went in and arrested them all today. The Attorney General, Moonbeam, as we call him here, Brown, he went in and he arrested several of the senior staff members in Bell today, which really surprised me because most of them are liberals. And I don't. This is one of those times when I go, I don't understand why
elections.
It could be Brown is, you got it right there, Stace. I think you hit it on the head. Brown's running for governor, and he's looking for any kind of print he can, and he's going to use the Attorney General's office to get himself in print and out there in the front as much as possible, so he can shake that hippie attitude, freedom fighter, you know, fighting for the little man, going after these corrupt politicians. When he's a huge corrupt politician, you know, he's just as much in the stew as the rest of them, and you know, that's like taking one turd out and going, oh, it's good to eat now, but he's just another turd pointing out the other turds in the soup. Sorry, that was awfully graphic, wasn't it? But that's what I think of politics. You know, it's just a big poop stew. And I don't encourage anybody to participate in it. If you do, and if it makes you feel good, that's fine. You know, good for you. Let's see, what do I got here? I got another one from, Bad Fag wrote us a letter. I forgot about that. I got to go to that. And it's coming in, it's loading. It's an image. That's what it is. That's why I didn't remember it. It's a picture of Anchor Babies. Invasion of the Anchor Babies. It's a movie poster that he sent me. I wish we could get it up, but I can't. But maybe we'll get it up on the website. So thank you. Keep sending the stuff. We got about 50 or 60 today, and I didn't even, say anything really controversial. So that's pretty good. some of the questions I got in the email about yesterday's show on camouflage. Some people took exception with me talking about the Geneva Convention, like, you know, throw it out the window, it doesn't matter. It matters if the people you are fighting apply it. I had mentioned yesterday that, you know, you can wear whatever camouflage you want. You can dress up like a nun and go into battle. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have unit designation, a chain of command, and you follow the rules of international warfare, if you get captured, they can just shoot you. You know, and you've got to understand that. So an armband, a sash, a patch, something is necessary. So I got some people saying, email saying I was naive. I'm like, look, I plan for the best, but I understand that I hope for the best, but I plan for the worst. You know, so I'm going to obey the rules of warfare, you know, until it's like during the, you know, the War of Northern Aggression. You know, the South played by all the rules until Sherman came in. And then, you know, Southern generals and commanders started hanging their prisoners or just shooting their prisoners. Not because they were villains, but because their prisoners, their own men, were being shot by the North. So until then, I'm going to pray that whoever we end up fighting in this coming calamity, you know, if it's a military, if it's not a military, it doesn't matter. I mean, if we're just going up against biker gangs, skinheads, and you know, illegal aliens, I could care less what you're doing. Just kill them all, let God sort them out. There's no rules of warfare, there's no chivalry, there's no code of conduct when you are fighting animals. And if they conduct themselves and fight like animals, we can fight like animals, but that doesn't make us animals. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you give them the same amount of discretion that you would a pit bull that's gone mad. You put a bullet in its head and you move on. You don't try to counsel it, you don't feed it, you don't tie it to a tree and let it live a happy life until it dies of natural causes but never gets off the chain. It's a waste of resources. Wow, that went kind of fast. We'll be back after the break. This is the Dutch Jones radio program, and 559-561-8225. Look forward to your calls after the break.
to take the orange, white and green bombard, Dublin town. But in 21, Britannia's hunger forced to end their pay. And the black ensigns, like lightning, ran on the rifles of the IRA. They burned their way through Munster and lay Leinster on the rack. In Connacht and in Ulster marched the men of brown and black. They shot down wives and children in their own heroic way. And the blackened hands like lightning ran from the rifles of the IRA. By the brave and the valiant few. Sean Tracy, Denny Lacy, and Tom Barry's gallant crew. Though we're not free yet, we won't forget until our dying day. How the blackened hands, like lightning, ran from the rifles of the eye.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention. This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
The kids, they listen to the rap music, which gives them the brain damage.
Woo! Well, that's a different kind of brain damage than I was talking. Ooh, I can't hear myself. Let me turn up my headphones. Hello, there I am. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're back for the second half hour of...
With their hippin' and the hoppin' and the bippin' and the boppin'.
That's not really Bill Cosby. That's somebody impersonating him. That's not really Bill Cosby, Lou. I know you want to think that is. During the break, I was checking out one of the listeners on Facebook. Posted on my site, you know, retard's kind of a harsh word. Maybe you could find something better, but he feels for, you know, he understands where I'm coming from. When I was a kid, retard was an acceptable term. So it's moron, idiot. They were all psychological terms taught in universities at different levels and IQs and function. And I've met a lot of retards, and to call them disabled or mentally handicapped, I think that's more of an insult. I've met fully functional retards that are more suited to do things than half the so-called fully functional people I know. So just a little comment on that. But I understand. Some people don't like. I use harsh words. I do. What you see is what you get with Dutch Jones. I don't hold any punches. You know, I'm nice to old women. You know, I don't try to inflame them too much. But the last time an old woman came up to me and asked me not to wear my pistol in church, I told her to go to another church. So, you know, I do stuff like that. And I don't mean it to be abrasive, but it's just I like dealing with true words and descriptive words. I don't like to dance around the bush with PC. I'm not saying that the guy who posted was a fan of PC, but he probably has someone in his family that's mentally retarded. But these people were mentally retarded, and they were completely able to work. And I love that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to listen to the first half hour. That's the mystery that is Dutch Jones. We got another article here that was sent to me by several of you folks. It's another bit of social engineering, just like we were talking about in the first half hour about how Canada wants to put cameras in their trash trucks. Well, the federal government, along with state and municipal governments, have chosen 21 communities to plan what they like to call promise neighborhoods. Now, because of the economic downturn, low test scores in minority neighborhoods, remember we talked last week about how our school here in the Three Rivers School District is not getting any grant money or any special funds because we only have 2 Mexican students? There's one in the audience. We only have 2 Mexican students, so they're not eligible for special needs or anything like that, so all their money has to come from property taxes. They don't get any of the special money that's, you know, generated. Even though this community generates like 60% of the taxes for the rest of the county, because we're a tourism spot, I'll be honest about that. It's not like we're all making widgets. But our neighborhood school, not that I promote public school, is hurting financially because they only have 2 Mexicans. So then idiots in the crowd actually said, well, we need to do something to get more Mexicans into the community. Yeah. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, go that route. But this article is by Christine Oh, where's my glasses? I can't see. I can't read. Oh, there you go. This is by Christine Armano, Associated Press, and it's from yesterday, or is it from today? It's from today. Organizers in distressed communities from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. will soon begin plans to create what the Department of Education, notice Department of Education, as promise neighborhoods where children and families receive support services that boost a student's chance of being successful in school. Now remember what Benjamin Franklin said. He said the ideals and philosophies taught in schools today will become the ideals and philosophies of government tomorrow. This is another way of them to grab the young minds, right? 21 applicants for the program to transform communities and student outcomes were named on Tuesday. They will receive grants of up to $500,000 of your money. Not my money, because I'm not paying taxes anymore. And I don't own land. Communities across the country recognize that education is the one true path out of poverty. Really? I thought hard work was. Education Secretary Arne Duncan said, these Promise Neighborhoods applicants are committed to putting schools at the center of their work to provide comprehensive services for young children in schools. Isn't it weird? I went through the public school system. I didn't have the benefit of homeschooling. My parents didn't even know about it. But we moved so much. I went to 27 different schools before high school. I went to the same high school, thank the Lord. I went to 27 different schools from the tip of, you know, Washington State all the way to Florida, from Massachusetts to Arizona. I never went to school in California as a kid, fortunately, but I was the victim of every weird experimental school, group school, sitting on beanbag school. I could wander around and learn what I wanted, and my head was so messed up by the time I got into the Army. I barely graduated high school. I'm not blaming them. A lot of it was my attitude. But they keep coming up with these experiments. They want to see what they can do to manipulate it because it's an industry. Create more jobs. How many jobs is this thing going to create? How many bureaucrats is it going to take to administer these grants? Now, the program is modeled after the Harlem Children's Zone, which provides comprehensive support for families from pregnancy through birth, education through college and career. Children in the program, charter schools, have made impressive gains on standardized tests and in closing the achievement gap. More than 300 communities applied to become Promise Neighborhoods. So 300 communities begging for money, only 21 got them. Applicants hope they can produce the results of the Harlem Children's Zone, can reproduce the results of the Harlem Children's Zone, even if they can't recreate charter schools, and will have a fraction of the organization's $84 million budget. Now, in these days of multi-billion dollar leaks and disappearing money, $84 million doesn't sound like a lot, but $84 million here, $84 million there, this is something you should be angry about. If we want to address the challenges of student achievement and success, you have to work in traditional public school systems. Why? Said Sheena Wright, president and CEO of the Abyssinian Development Corporation in Harlem, one of the organizations that was awarded a Promise Neighborhoods grant. See, they're businesses. They may not be for-profit businesses, but they're definitely taking home the cash. The money isn't spent on the kids. The money's spent on reviews, assessments, planning and investigations, you know. Oh, let's do a study to see how this grant money should go, and it'll cost more than the grant. The local public high school rights group works with has attained strong results, they say, including a graduation rate of more than 90% for African American men. Now that's saying something. I know Los Angeles was like 50% graduation for African American men. Maybe more African Americans are staying in school because the Mexicans are taking their jobs. Maybe that's why.
They took our jobs.
They're taking mostly the black men's jobs in L.A., which is kind of sad. Drema Gentry, that's got to be a hippie. Drema Gentry, director for external affairs of Berea College, which will work with three communities in rural Kentucky, said a smaller budget wasn't a barrier to improving student outcomes. The key will be engaging the community, particularly those who have lost faith in the value of education. That's what it takes to create the change. Not necessarily the big budget, Gentry said, but they gladly take the money. The Promise Neighborhoods were part of President Barack Hussein Obongo's presidential campaign platform. He has requested $210 million in the 2011 budget cycle to implement the program and plan for more Promise Neighborhoods. Duncan said Tuesday that if less is granted, a lot of children will lose out. Duncan visited the Montana reservation last year, which has been plagued by high dropout rates and unemployment. The community has been challenged by drug and alcohol abuse and the breakdown of the family structure, with many children in single-family households or with a parent in jail, Small said. The whole community, all the different organizations came together, she said. All this is, everything that when they say they're doing it for the kids, let's do it for the children, let's have a telethon for the children, let's have a bake sale for the children, get involved in your public school, it's all to assist them in brainwashing future generations into becoming drone voters. It doesn't even matter if they're Republicans or Democrats. It doesn't matter anymore. They're all drone voters. They want grist for the mill, and that's your children. And they're taking your money. You're paying them to brainwash your kids. This kind of money is going to go, you know, for things going to be like for breakfast and free breakfast and free lunch. I have no problem feeding a kid. If you're going to force them to go to school, you better feed them. That's my attitude. I always said when I was in school, you're forcing me to be here. It's against the law for me to leave. You better pay me. So they wouldn't pay me, so I just stole things, you know, in my former life to make up for it from the school. It's all, a Fabian socialist communist plot. Yeah, you know, it's no longer a conspiracy. It's an actual battle plan that they have to take control of the schools. That has always been the plan. Lincoln knew it. Hitler knew it. Every tyrant throughout history, you take over the churches, you take over the schools, you control industry, you control the people. And they fluctuate where they focus. They've been focusing on industry. They've been focusing on, what's wrong? They focus on different things just to keep you moving. It's like a good prize fighter. He doesn't always use the uppercut. He doesn't always use the right jab. He's going to mix it up a little bit. Or for Lou, the good MMA fighter. He likes the MMA stuff. Savate. Lou wants to grow up to be a great Savate fighter.
No.
What was it then? What was it you wanted to study? Muay Thai? You like Muay Thai?
No.
It's a little too spicy for me. It gives me heartburn. But it's all... all a goal to just to turn your kids here, and when you use the term, get into a bunch of retards that'll do whatever they're told. And we're complicit in it. I mean, we went to that city hall, town hall / school board meeting the other day, And the only ones that got up to speak against, you know, their request for an additional $500,000 a year, whatever it was, were those of us that were doing homeschool. We're like, this doesn't make any sense. You just keep asking for more money. And when asked what they were going to use the money for, oh, field trips to San Francisco. Yeah. If I had a kid in the public school, I really want him going on an overnight trip, two-day trip to San Francisco. It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, we keep putting our kids into the cesspool system and wondering why they come out smelling.
Them come back gay.
Yeah, every year I bet a couple of them come back gay, huh?
Baptized
in gay bay, and you run the risk. You know, and like today was it? I think it was Saturday. You know, they're having some car wash for Wood Lake High School, which is the high school in the area. And it's like, you know, and they want to play sports. We got to pay for sports is one of the other things. We got to pay for it's an element. It's one grades 1 through 8. What do you do? Why does a little school with that many kids even have a football team? Now, if you like sports, there are community leagues. Put your kid in community leagues. Why are you depending on the government, which really you're depending on everybody else, to pay for your kid to become a so-called athlete?
They could play that at recess.
And then I love it. People said, well, you know, kids, that's sometimes their only path to a scholarship. Do you know the odds of getting a sports scholarship?
Yeah.
It's harder than getting struck by lightning, actually. You're more likely to get attacked by a great white than you are to get to end up in the NFL, you know, get a scholarship, move on, and make it all the way to the NFL. I mean, that's a pipe dream that people believe in for some stupid reason. You're better off to just take your high school diploma and have a good hard work ethic, and not that I like high school diplomas, and do like Dave Thomas or a lot of these other guys that never went to college and start your own business. You may not become a gazillionaire. You may not be the next Buffett, but, you know, Warren Buffett, but you at least, you know, the best way to train your kid is early. Teach them that hard work is rewarded. And that you labor for the Lord, you know. That's why you do your homework. I hate it. My daughter, with her other family, they pay her for grades. They pay her for grades. I said, well, she should be doing it to better herself, not to do the grades. And their argument, and I understand this, it's almost a capitalist argument. Well, in the real world, you're paid for doing good. I said, not really. Every place I ever worked, I got my regular wage, and when I hit a home run, it was usually some manager that took credit for the report I wrote. I didn't get a pat on the head or a bonus for it. Mm-hmm. In fact, I used to have to fight whenever I worked in civil service. They'd go, you have to fill out your performance report. I go, what's that? Well, you have to justify why you should get a promotion, you know, or get a bonus. And I go, I don't deserve a bonus. You already pay me to do my job. Why should I get? It's not your money that you're giving me. It's taxpayer money. And I'm serious. I really did this, like especially when I was working for the city of Moreno Valley. Every year for like 7 years, they're like, oh, you have to do your performance. I go, no, I'm not going to do it. And then they go, well, you have to do it or you won't get your bonus. I said, I don't want a bonus. I said, if that money is entitled to come to me, just raise my hourly wage 25 cents. You know, because we're talking anywhere from like $100 to $500 a year they would give, you know, out in bonuses to, you know, lower echelon workers. They're playing with taxpayers' money. Where does that mentality start? It starts in the public school system. Everybody stand in line. Everybody play their part. Everybody, you know, gets pat on the head. You know, teacher's pet kind of attitude. The public cesspool system is merely one apparatus of the New World Order, but it's a huge one. The whole goal is to throw in raw meat, grind it up, and make patties that are all 100% alike to come out. That's what they're doing to your kids. And every time you send your kids to those public schools, that's what you're getting. And here, you know, Obongo's doing another one here, you know, $110 million. He's asking for next year to do it again. And, you know, I don't know if you're a PTA member. I don't know if you're saying, oh, Dutch, you don't know what you're talking about. And let's see, what do I got here? I'm getting comments through Facebook. I don't see how you can send your kids in there. It's just like people, you see these commercials now on TV where they're showing the proud parents because their kids have made the decision to join the military. No way. Okay, I get your point, Alan. I wasn't really picking on you. I was actually I just thought it was funny. I have no problem with people saying, don't use the word retard or something like that. That's okay. I know we're on the same team, so thank you for the comment. At least somebody's interacting with me. I don't know if people are interacting in the chat room. I should go look. You got out of the chat room. Why?
My computer disconnected from the...
Oh, I knew. I told you it would only be a couple weeks before your computer started messing up. You going to smash it now?
Mm-hmm.
Is the honeymoon over?
The router.
Let's see. Yeah, it's... it's easy for me to sit here and judge. I live up on a, you know, in the mountains. I pulled out of the system. I survive, you know, month to month by doing what we can. I don't allow our son to go to public school. I wish I couldn't allow my daughter to, but, you know, that's a battle I lost long ago. But we've got to step out of these systems. And when we see things like this, we got to speak up about it. It's too late now for this program. But if you're going to have kids in school, you better darn well be going to the school board meetings. If you're going to live in a community and you hear a whim that they're going to raise taxes, just sit there, you know, the people that come, oh, they're going to raise taxes again, go to the meetings. Be heard. Stand in the gap. Sure, you're probably going to lose, but you're called to go forward and stand in the gap, even in these battles. And these aren't little battles. The battle for your children's minds and welfare and future, I don't mean welfare in the corporate statist way. I mean just their the welfare of their life. There's how they're gonna live the rest of their lives. We can't keep sitting on the sidelines when we see these things happening. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't like standing up in a crowd full of hippies and telling them they're stupid. But you got to do it because you never know what the reaction is going to be. It's, you know, they already hate us bad enough. So what's the loss? That's why I like having the radio station that just screams information into the community. You know, I know they can turn it off, but you know they listen. What are those weirdos up to up there? You know they want to know what we're thinking. That's the difference. I don't care if they think different than me. They can go live in an island somewhere and do whatever they want. I'm not gonna. As long as it's away from me, they can be judged by God. But it's the other side. They go out of their way to enforce their way of life on us. And that's how they won, in the schools. They took over elementary schools, then middle schools, junior highs, high schools, colleges. Half the colleges in this country that are run by libtards were once, Christian colleges. Started by Christians to put Christians out there as missionaries. We give up everything as Christians. We constantly walk away from our duty. When the film industry started in America, Christians, everyone, oh, that's, we better not get involved in that. That's terrible. Well, look what it is now, and look how hard it is for a Christian to get a good Christian film made. I'm not talking about Mel Gibson. I'm talking about just your average Joe trying to make a movie that wants to have a good message, a good wholesome message. Bibles are pretty much banned in schools now because, Christians didn't want to become teachers. We're called to act, people. We're called to go forth and fight the battle. And, we go back to the experimentation that they play on our kids. We're complicit in that as parents if we allow it to happen. I scream and yell about it all the time. I keep telling my daughter, hey, you come live with me, you can be homeschooled. And homeschooling here pretty much amounts to Lou's great. You know, he downloads the software and the curriculum, and every morning he gets up and he does it. I think you enjoy it, don't you? Mm-hmm. And then the stuff I do, like the history stuff, we watch videos, I teach him stuff about history, you know, the stuff that I know. And it's such a better way to keep your family together. It's such a great way to keep strong values passed down to the next generations. I've seen it here in this community. I've only been here 4 years. It's funny, we meet people that are like elderly, that came to the church for 20, 30 years, you know, and all their kids have moved on because they let their kids go into the public school system and then they sent them off to college. I'm not saying colleges are bad, but you've got to prepare your child if you're going to send them to college. Well, colleges are bad. Education isn't bad. Learning is great. You should always learn. Lord knows I've spent about 12 years in higher education, a little here, a little there, doing all this stuff. And, you know, got a degree in criminal justice, never uses it, you know, don't use it. I got it after I, you know, decided not to be a cop. It's kind of funny. But I love community college. I love going and learning stuff, welding, whatever you can get, cabinet making, philosophy, medical. I just found out that, what's it called, College of the Sequoias, which is, is that it? COS? Yes. College of the Sequoias, which is a local community college. We have one of their instructors, an architectural instructor, goes to our church from time to time, and he told me that they have a new online survival course that you can take online and get credit for. I love the whole concept of community college. There's nothing wrong. I mean, it goes all the way back. It's almost a biblical thing. You know, people come and listen to Jesus and he teach. I love that idea. The problem is that it's been perverted and overrun because we vacated it. Wouldn't it be great if, you know, you decided, because a lot of community colleges, they'll let just about anybody teach. I've been asked to teach community college. I'm like, okay. I taught video editing in a community college level course. Got like, it was like $8 an hour, you know, but it was fun. I got to meet people and teach them how to edit. But you approach the college and say, hey, you know, if I get 10 people together, could I teach a class on the War of Northern Aggression? Yeah. Thank you, Warland. That's a great way to put it. I was at a loss for words. The difference between education and indoctrination. Tyrants use indoctrination to mold the minds of the zombies and future zombies. And education leads to freedom. Indoctrination leads to slavery. We don't have an education system in America anymore. We have an indoctrination system. It was that way when I was a kid. It's not something new. It's not like all of a sudden overnight the hippies came in and took over. I remember all of it. I remember every bit of it. I never went to kindergarten because we moved around too much. I just ended up in the first grade. But 12 years of nothing but indoctrination. 12 years of nothing but being fed lies. And when I spoke up and told the truth, I was dragged out of the class. One time kicking and screaming. I remember one time in a U.S. history class, they had this college graduate right out of school was teaching because our regular history instructor in the 11th grade was out on maternity leave. And she knew nothing about the Mexican-American War. And she was just kind of reading out of this textbook, which was a bunch of lies. And I had studied on my own. And, you know, we didn't have the internet back then, but I watched a lot of PBS and saw some documentaries and stuff. So I knew there was a little more to it. And I had raised my hand in an issue about how Texas was once an independent nation. She said, no, it was never an independent nation. And I'm like, yes, it was. And she goes, would you like to teach the class, Mr., you know, DJ? I almost gave away my real name there. And I said, well, yes, I would. And I got up and started teaching the class from what I had remembered from reading, because I used to go to the public library in our town. It was weird. I was the biggest freak in town with my big blue mohawk, and I was the only one that used the library. I can't think of, other than moms with little kids in the children's section, I never saw anybody in our library other than me. And this is the public library. It was in a Carnegie building, another one of those philanthropy things. But they don't want you to know the truth. And the people teaching it, even if they knew the truth, which I don't think most of them do, they wouldn't teach it. Because their philosophy is completely different. They want the dumbing down of America. The just, you know, the hodgepodge. It goes back to the stew thing. Just boil everything down to its lowest common denominator.
Well, just like Anthea's teacher was teaching her that Indians were slaves.
Yeah, that we had enslaved the Indians and we were bad, we white Europeans. And I said it wasn't the white Europeans that enslaved Indians. There were Indians that were enslaved, Anthea, but it was the Catholic Church that enslaved Indians, and nobody wants to bring that up. Everywhere from New Mexico to California, Lou's getting all like, oh, I can't believe you just said that. Yeah. Yeah, he's worried about the Spanish Inquisition, he says. The Spaniards were the bad guys. The Inquisitors, the Jesuits. The Bell Curve. Remember the book, The Bell Curve, when that came out? I can't remember the author. And he caught all kinds of flack about being a racist there. But so everything's upside down now. Textbooks are looking ridiculous. They don't even want to talk about the founding fathers. They want to spend 2 weeks on the Aztec and Mayan empires. Never once in high school did I ever get a fair shake on the War of Northern Aggression. You know, I didn't even know that term back then, but I knew something was wrong when a federal government forces somebody to be part of a contract. And I'd raise my hand and go, well, that'd be like you wanting to move and the guy you're renting from saying, no, you can't move, you have to stay there. Well, that's different. No, it's contract law. Your landlord has violated the lease and you want to move out and he gets the cops to keep you in the house and paying rent. And it was such a simple thing that this, you know, 15-year-old kid came up with that insulted the high school history teacher. She just went nuts. You know, and other people were like, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know if it was all the Ritalin or what was the other stuff? Oh, they didn't have Ritalin back then. I was on phenobarbital. They gave me phenobarbital for seizures or something when I was a kid. So maybe that's what triggered these weird thoughts in my head when I was a kid.
You just can't stop fiddling. You just take your phenobarbital.
Yeah, my phenobarbital. Yeah, I wore a helmet when I was a little kid. A helmet and a harness. Staked down in the middle of the yard with a leash so I couldn't get too far around the yard. I admit those things because I want you to know that I'm flawed. I'm not somebody that has all the answers, but I darn sure have a lot of questions. We're going to be back after the break with Liberty Tree Radio, hopefully. I don't see him in here yet. Sometimes he comes in as a guest. We'll find some more articles and talk about some more stuff.
It's become a nightmare.
Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free. That is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. It's a hell here on earth in some city schoolyard. When bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets, and the fact the bad guys must always go free. That is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. We need
the
There
problem.
Is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
We'll put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
This is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, no, Lou.
Oh, you sensei.
That desktop that they're seeing over you broadcast is the desktop that you created on that computer. I have been hounding you for weeks to clean up that computer. That's funny. Ed from Liberty Tree Radio is like, whose desktop is that? Because we played a video and Lou left his desktop up. Lou likes shortcuts to everything. He just puts them up on the top. So maybe now you'll be motivated to clean it because it's not me hounding you. Welcome to our Liberty Tree Radio listeners. Welcome back to our U Broadcast listeners, and also our Facebook, MySpace, Channel 2CB up there in New York State, and wherever else you're listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and especially to our pod people. They make up the minions. There are thousands of pod people, and we thank you for listening. So, and all you folks over at Liberty Tree Radio, we thank you for giving us the venue and allowing us to just throw our ideas out there. I am Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. It is September 21, 2010. Our phone is working. We tested it. Stacy called in and it worked fine. And so the phone number to call in is 559-561-8225. 559-561 8225. That's weird that they're still seeing your desktop. It probably froze on the last image that you sent out. Because like I stopped mine, and I'm looking at Luke 22:36 from the video that we had played. And it's staying up.
That's because you paused it.
Is it because I paused it? So yeah. If I hit play, it'll go away? It says buffering when I hit play. I don't want to risk it. Oh, there is a terrible desktop.
Hey.
Look at all that stuff up there. Wow, Lou, you need to clean your desktop or you don't get any dessert.
Well, that's not my computer.
When I was a kid, you had to clean your room or you didn't get any dessert. Now I'm yelling at Lou, you got to clean your desktop. Folks, I got an email from Minuteman, who's in the chat room. He's probably busy building a rifle or something, but he listens, so he may not chime in on this. He sent me an email. Where did it go? On a regulation that became law in California, typical, on September 1st, 2010, that I didn't even hear about. But ignorance of the law is no excuse. They have passed a law in California, let me find this here, Section 9550, Subarticle 8 of Article 4, Subchapter 10, Chapter 1, Division 3, Title 17, California Code of Regulations. It is a new law banning under-inflated tires on your car.
How does that produce greenhouse gas?
Stacy's reading it over my shoulder. It says that under-inflated tires contribute to global warming because of greenhouse gases, because we all know if you air your tires up to 80 PSI, you get better mileage. We all do it when we do rental trucks, right? Well, now, if the tolerances are plus or minus 2 PSI, I've read through this thing, and it's typical legal speak, but basically it's saying that any auto body, paint facility, garages, automotive dealers, tire dealers, auto parts distributors, auto wrecker or dismantler, automotive maintenance or repair services, I'm going through all the list, gross vehicles weighing over a certain weight, that they operate within their recommended tire pressure plus or minus 2 PSI. The vehicle's and it tells you where you can find, you know, all this stuff, goes through all of it. A tire gauge has to be a specific tire gauge. You're going to regulate tire gauges now. Total permissible error means the allowable accuracy of that tire gauge. So they're going to have state-certified tire gauges now. This is law. This passed a long time ago, became enacted on September 1st, and I completely missed it. So thanks, Minuteman, for sending it in. An unsafe tire means any tire considered unsafe in accordance with standard industry practices due to tire tear. So they can pull you over, and you guys that are truck drivers, ooh, that sounded terrible, Lou. That DOT will pull you over for tire tread or cracks in your tire and stuff like this, but now it applies to everybody. By September 1st, 2010, all automotive service providers are required to check and inflate each vehicle's tire to the recommended tire pressure rating with air or nitrogen as appropriate at the time of performing any automotive maintenance or repair. So when you go in to get your oil change, and a lot of the places will do it anyway, but you go in to get your fan belt fixed, the mechanic is now required by law to check your tire pressure. So, of course, they're going to add, you know, he's going to say, well, that's an extra 5 minutes. I need to charge for that. I doubt it'll, you know, it's trickle-down economics. They make up the stupid laws, and you have to pay it. You have to indicate on all invoices whether or not the tires were changed and within the plus 2 pounds per square inch tolerances. They must make sure that that every mechanic working, every employee has access to tire inflation reference. Somebody mowing out there?
Mm-hmm. Pastor.
Where's he mowing at? I can hear him, but I don't see him. Sounds like small aircraft flying over. It's a lawnmower. Keep a copy of the vehicle service invoice for a minimum of 3 years and make the vehicle service invoice available to the Air Resources Board. So it's like buying a gun now. You take your car in to get a fender fixed. If they have to check the air pressure on your tires and report it to the Air Resources Board. I mean, I'm almost dumbfounded. At first I thought this was going to be a joke, and then I made sure that it was actually in there. It's... Customers with vehicle tires inflated with nitrogen gas are subject to the requirements, because I didn't know people were putting nitrogen in their tires. Some inert gas. I don't know. Maybe it's you get better mileage because it's lighter than air. So I don't know how that's negligible. Pretty soon they'll make us all do it. Now, get all the way down to Section E. Penalties may be assessed for any violation of this article pursuant of the Health and Safety Code Section 38580. Each day during any portion of which a violation occurs is a separate offense. See, they don't even put the fee schedule in here because it's not a law. This is a health and safety code. It's just like Fish and Game came here and said, we can't use lead bullets anymore, anything east of Interstate 99 because of condor habitat. Wasn't a law, wasn't voted on, just a code, a rule, a regulation, and that's what they do. Any violation of this article may be enjoined pursuant to Health and Safety Code Section 415113. Let's see, it's just saying that it's related to other laws. Any applicable law that it also covers this will be used. If any subsection paragraph of this is considered unconstitutional, it's invalid. Well, it's all unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. I mean, they put that in G. It's insane. The level that this state is willing to go to, I know you guys are all laughing. Well, you chose to live in California. You chose to live there. Well, you know what? It happens here. We're the petri dish, and it's going to happen in your state. Massachusetts will be next. Look at the cell phone laws. Yeah, it's saying any cars that come in for service have to be checked. That's the first level. Then what it'll be is the police officers will be carrying around pressure gauges for passenger cars. Now, I know the Department of Transportation guys already do this to truckers. They're looking for everything they can get. They if they don't like you, they'll go through your truck with a fine-tooth comb looking for violations. And so now it's trickling down. It's just a revenue generator. It's not about greenhouse gases. I can tell you, most people don't even know how much pressure goes in their tires. Most people don't even care until it goes flat. And, he's saying that it's not just California. Well, this is a California law that I'm reading. I know that they probably, the EPA probably wants to apply it to everybody, so it's coming your way. All cars are having new digital air pressure sensors put in the wheels and a new gauge on the dashboard. Oh, that's just incredible. It's like the Humvees, where you can monitor the air pressures from inside. Wacky. And more control, more violations of our rights. That's insane that they're doing it. You know, that it's going to be nationwide. Well, they just announced that they're going after truck drivers for cell phone usage. There are something like 37 states already that won't let you text while driving. And there's like a handful that won't let you talk while driving. You can do the hands-free. Well, now they want to do a national law for all semi-truck drivers, the mule skinners, the modern-day mule skinners. They can't use cell phones without the hands-free anymore. And I've been looking, National Transportation Safety Board, and the states that they're doing these cell phone laws, there really isn't that much of an increase or decrease in accidents or deaths. In fact, one thing I've noticed here in California, the Department of Homeland Pressure Security Agency will be formed. Thanks, Warland. People who get a phone call now swerve wildly to get out of traffic and get over to the side so they can answer their phone. I mean, it goes to they made everybody so dependent upon digital devices, they go nuts if they can't get online while they're driving or talk on their phone or chat or tweet or whatever it is, Twitter? Tweet? Mm-hmm. Exactly what they're doing 24 hours a day, every minute of the day. People freak out. But I've been seeing... Oh, your mom's in there. Hello, Pinky. Stacy's sitting right next to me. Her computer won't go online. She's mad now. You should see her. She's frowning. She's got the claws out. It's really sad. Then the car computer will send a message to a satellite and then relay it to the cops so they can pull you over, Olima says. That's right. All this information is being collected. You scofflaws, you guy that's got 22 pounds of pressure instead of 32 in your right rear, oh, you're going to get it. Ooh, you're going to get it. It's just insane, you know. They were talking here, they tried to pass a law. It failed, and I don't know why, that all cars, new cars coming into California had to have this special tint with gold in it that would keep the temperature in the car lower so that we wouldn't have to run our air conditioners. It failed because I think the auto manufacturers finally went nuts on that one. They probably said, look, this is going to raise the price of all cars going to California. What I see happening eventually is truckers are already bailing on California, the trucking businesses. Sure, they still come in and deliver stuff, but the businesses are going across the border to Nevada and Arizona and places elsewhere where they don't get so much legislation on the state level. They've got a mandatory replacement of semi-trucks here. And you have to basically sell your truck to somebody out of state and buy one of the new California Air Resources Board certified trucks, and they're much more expensive. Avis and OnStar mails a report to you on the status of your car. If you pay for it, reads right out of your car's computer. Tell you what your mileage is, you know, all that kind of stuff. I was watching Ice Road.
We'll just talk.
Take down the music. I'm back in the room. Hello. I can't see anybody. I can't get back on the internet, but that's okay. That's more than okay. Let's see what happens when I hit recycle. Welcome back, folks. I don't know who's still with us. We got anybody back in the room still? They all
no,
go home.
No, still over there.
Thank you. Thank you for believing in us. I'm pretty sure that was a complete failure of our internet provider. Everything went down. The phones were still working, but... The satellite uplink thing wasn't working. Lou knows the technical terms, and I thought we were goners, so I ran to the restroom, and I knew Lou would get it back up, but I didn't think he'd get it up so soon, so, and I left the mics up, so you probably heard me yelling from down the hall. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We just had about a 10-minute lapse, so if it just kind of jumps when Olima edits it together, thank you, Olima, for being there, and, that you're not missing anything. I was talking about tire pressure laws, so I can't think that the New World Order would kick me off.
I don't think Olima's in there.
Olima probably got out, but that's okay. I can't expect her to listen to everything we do. But look, there's still quite a few people in there. But congratulations, Lou, whatever you did. Was it something you did, or is it just luck?
I don't know.
You don't know? Yeah, I saw you unplugging and plugging the router and yelling at it with your shirt off. See, it won't let me get in. It will not let me in. Okay, well, I can see people there, though. I can see the people in, but I can't get in. Yeah, we were just talking about overbearing tyranny when it comes to tire pressures and other stupid laws, and we got bumped, but that's what happens. I don't think it was anything nefarious or conspiratorial. No, I'm not that important yet. I'm not on the top 100 most dangerous people in America list that the Southern Poverty Law Center puts out, so. What are you doing to that speaker?
Nothing.
That looked really weird, Lou. I'm not even going to tell him what you were doing.
Why?
It just looked freaky. It looked like you were petting it like a cat. Is that your favorite speaker, Lou?
No.
That's not your favorite? Which one's your favorite?
I don't have a favorite.
Oh, you love them all equally?
What?
All the speakers? That's funny. I look over and you're just like going, nice speaker. Well, and needless to say, I'm a little discombobulated in more ways than one, but we are back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And we're due for a break right now. We're going to go to the break, and then we'll be back, and we'll start fresh. I'm on the list they didn't publish. Thanks, Ed. That'll help me with my insomnia. So we'll be back after the break.
It was back in 1942. I was a member of a good platoon. We were on maneuvers in Louisiana one night by the light of the moon. The captain told us to ford a river. That's how it all begun. We were knee-deep in the big muddy. The big fool said to push on. Well, the sergeant said, sir, are you sure this is the best way back to the base? Sergeant, go on, I forded this river about a mile above this place. It'll be a little soggy, but just keep slogging. We'll soon be on dry ground. We were waist-deep in the big muddy. The big fool said to push on. Sergeant said, sir, with all this equipment, no man will be able to swim. Sergeant, don't be a nervous Nelly, the captain said to him. All we need is a little determination. Men, follow me, I'll lead on. We were neck deep in the big muddy. The big fool said to push on. All at once the moon clouded over. We heard a gurgling cry. A few seconds later, the captain's helmet was all that floated by. The sergeant said, turn around, men, I'm in charge from now on. And we just made it out of the big muddy with the captain dead and gone. We stripped and dived and found his body stuck in the old quicksand. I guess he didn't know that the water was deeper than the place he'd once before been. Another stream had joined the big muddy about a half mile from where he'd gone. We were lucky to escape from the big muddy when the big fool said to push on. Well, I'm not going to point any moral. I'll leave that for yourself. Maybe you're still walking, you're still talking. You'd like to keep your health. But every time I read the paper, them old feelings come on. We're waist-deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist-deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist-deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist-deep, neck-deep, soon even a tall man will be over his head. We're waist-deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention! Attention!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones radio program.
And now for something completely different.
That fellow at Radio Shack said I was mad. Well, who's mad now?
Yes, Lou, if it weren't for Radio Shack, we wouldn't have a radio show, would we? Would we? Oh, man, you're hissing there. Let me take that down. Take some of the mid out of there. I don't know why your mic hisses so bad. It's a different kind of mic. So I think that's actually a Radio Shack mic that we sell, that we bought. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're back, and we've got a half hour here to tell you folks what we think, what we believe here from the church at Kuia. Give you a little update. The chapel is full. So it's back room right now. If you're coming in, you're going to be in the back room, but that's okay. We got a big screen TV. It's going to be nice and comfy. There'll be enough room for everybody. But we have something like 200 plus people now confirmed for the conference. And it's just amazing. And we've added another speaker for those of you that haven't heard. Steve Klein, who is a Vietnam veteran, a sniper from Vietnam, who has made it his life's mission to bring the truth about Islam to America, to America's lazy people that, you know, just they want to hear the nightly news report. He's going to tell them the deep, dark truth. And that's going to be a good one. I look forward to it. We've added some shooting demonstrations. We've added a little video that I played earlier. We're going to play that. I was going to make it 8 minutes long, but I'm not going to. I figure people, you know, their attention span, so I made it like 2.5 minute long, a little militia recruiting video that we'll get up on YouTube tonight or tomorrow, unless there's some things we need to change in it. The phone number to call in is 559-561-8225. That is 559-561-8225. And we are transmitting right now all over the place, and we are coming to you from the Cahuilla Commonwealth. It's a little place here in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada Mountains, just outside Sequoia National Park. We are surrounded by hippies and liberals, but we are a bastion. We are a stronghold of patriotic Christian thought. Christian patriotic thought. I always got to put Christian first. We're Christian militants. We're not militant Christians. So it's always good to clarify that. The message you're going to get here is not what you're going to get from going to your 501c3 Baptist church or whatever it is. And we continue to have all kinds of issues with that. People get really upset, and that we preach that you should have a Bible in one hand and a semi-automatic main battle rifle in the other, or whatever you can do. Some people up here don't have guns; they just carry a big old sword. But the message is here. This year, we're not getting. I don't see anything on the net about protests. Last year, we had Ken Hovind's son. I can't remember his name.
Eric Hovind
came and talked about creation science, and there were all kinds of people who wanted to protest, so they found out we were all armed. Mm-hmm. Security's going to be really good this year because, like I said, now we've got three people that have fatwas out against them. I don't know. It just seems to be the theme this year. There's just this electricity in the air, like something's going to... Not bad. I'm not talking about bad happening. I kind of segued into that wrong. Something good's going to happen here at this conference. That people are gonna come here and hopefully a few of them will stay a few days longer so we can get involved in some really good one-on-one training. We can show you guys some stuff, show you around the area, show you what this area has to offer as far as a stronghold goes. Somebody asked me the other day, they sent me an email, they said, well, you're always talking about that, but it's California. Why did you pick it? Well, clearly, here's the report. We've got like 6 water wells, 3 water streams that run through our property, and they run year-round. We're in the middle of a dead end road, but we're at the end of where population is. Behind us is all forest and BLM and private cattle ranching, and the guy that owns the cattle ranch is great. It's a great place to be. We've got fruit trees, we've got wild game, we've got enough area to farm, we've got, you know, a place we can plow up, we've got raw materials we've been collecting over the years here. Yeah, we got a big scrap pile, so we can make all kinds of neat stuff. The worst thing about where we're at, honestly, is the stinking gophers. It's going to require a gardener extraordinaire and a crew of children to keep the food growing.
My cat just got a gopher.
Oh, he had a gopher just now? Oh, she? Ammo had a gopher earlier. He had it by the head in the hole, and I stabbed it through the ground for him, and he left it there.
But she's eating it.
Yeah, thanks, Lou, for pointing that out, what creation science is. Ken Hovind's a whole other story.
Science on creation.
Science on creation, yeah. The science of creation, you know, applying scientific thought to the facts of creation. And it always makes people mad. But this place is a stronghold because it's where it is. It's not perfect. No, I mean, we can't see people coming a long way off because we're also in a bowl. It's kind of like, you know, the Serbs, you know, lobbing shells in on everybody else there in former Yugoslavia, but if we were up against artillery or aircraft, yeah, we wouldn't have a chance no matter where we were. But as far as zombies and rogue elements of criminals, we're in a good place, and I like it here. But that doesn't mean that I wouldn't load my family up and take off to Idaho or Montana or maybe Colorado. Colorado's a little far. I would love to get back to Colorado, but I don't know. It's just a lot of open space. To get across.
How upholds our gun rights.
Yeah. Well, in that point, I think when it gets to that point, it wouldn't matter. The law is going to be collapsing and everything's suspended, and I'm not going to really care. I'm just looking at what resources are in the area and what like-minded people are there. I mean, with Chuck Baldwin going to, taking off to Kalispell, Montana, you know, that makes me feel a little better knowing he's up behind us. You know, he's a rear echelon kind of guy, because we're here on the front lines, folks. I'm serious, and I take pride in that. So when I get the emails, you know, slamming me for living in California, I take pride for it. I'm here because my daughter's here, honestly. If the four of us, me, Lou, and Mom over here, could just load up, you know, in a vehicle and go somewhere and start over again without repercussions from Child Protective Services and sheriffs coming around and me going out in a blaze of glory because I refuse to surrender my daughter, yeah, I'd be gone tomorrow. That's not saying anything negative about the church at Cahuilla. It's just saying if I had my druthers, I would be in a safer, more rear area place. Yeah, Minuteman, who's been here many times, he's a very good friend of our group here. He's trained with us. He's pointing out that we've got good listening posts, observation posts. We've got, because of the terrain and the way that they put a dam in at the entrance to the road, there is a choke point there to stop all choke points. I mean, we're talking 100-foot high walls that have been blown into the hill so they could put a road through it. You take a couple school buses, we got it closed. And that's another good thing. And in the winter, nobody's coming in behind us on the main road, which is the tourism road that goes through Sequoia National Park. They close it because of the snow. And then we can fall back. There are cave systems throughout here that go 20, 30 miles. I went to the Forest Service, or National Parks, rather, and got a video on, and they said they don't even know what they don't know. They say we only know of a small percentage of the caves. And the ones we do know are huge, and not all of them are explored. So caves are a great resource, 68 degrees year-round, fresh running water, you know, all that kind of stuff. In the caves, they're not like crystal caves where it's really high, you know, they call one crystal cave, but it's not like the ones I've seen where really hot and high humidity and everything and it can kill you. It's rather pleasant. And, you know, the natives that were here, the indigenous people used them, the miners used them during the Great Depression, the not-so-great depression. I talked about that earlier. Why do they call it the Great Depression? A lot of folks came up here and lived in those caves, and I've met them. These guys in their 80s, they got some great stories, you know, about how they just lived off the land. They ate miner's lettuce, which is a natural plant that's high in vitamin C that grows here. There's just so much you can do here. It's a great place. We've got trees that have all kinds of nuts and berries on them. There's something to eat year-round here. Granted, it's not, you know, going to Burger King every day, but hey, that's killing me, right? I need to get away from that anyway. Most of us probably do. So it's a good place here. So when people come out here, we're hoping they see it and they like it. That's what we're going for. We're really putting our best face on. We're going to show them the opportunities that are here. And if they don't choose to stay, we're hoping that they go back to their home area and they start a militia there. The whole point of this one is to get people to start militias, especially centered around their churches. Now, like I said, we're going to have a huge mixture of people. We're going to have Mormons, Catholics. A couple pacifists are going to come in. I don't know why they keep showing up. I don't know. Maybe there's a yearning in their hearts, and they know something just ain't right with their, you know, their pacifist church that they go to. And the Lord's leading them here. So we're just creating a venue for people to come to with this conference, and we're just praying that people will hear the message and do something about it. We talked earlier about the information that came out on Liberty Tree Radio this morning on the intelligence report. We may only have a couple months. I mean, a wise man prepares. You know, we've heard it all before. Oh, peak oil's coming. There's going to be wheat shortages. But you know what? The compression level is getting smaller and smaller, this information, these weird things that are going on, and more sources of information. It's not just single source intel anymore. It's multiple people telling us that something's coming down the pike. And whether it's 2 months or 2 years from now, it doesn't really matter. The goal is that every night you go to bed, you should know that you've done everything you could do and you've prepared everything you can do up to that very moment. Sure, I wish I had a year's supply of food instead of just a month. Mm-hmm. I wish I had four or five fallback locations. I wish I had cars that worked, but they don't. What resources we do have, we've been spending on food and equipment. Eventually, someday, we'll get a car that runs. But as for right now, you know, we're going to have to get mules to get out of here because I ain't riding no mountain bike over that hill. You guys may want bikes. Every station says, we got to get bikes. I'm like looking at the mountains going, I'd rather have a mule. You know, go on the, you know, two mules for everybody, one to carry our gear and one to ride. I that's kind of the plan I'm looking into, but we don't have any mules right now. Although there are some opportunities nearby that I'm sure people would trade, you know, that don't see the value in them when they didn't prepare and their kids are starving and I've got a whole case of ravioli. And I can give you a case of ravioli for that mule. Oh, okay. Because most people around here just keep animals for the looks and for the fun of it. They don't put them to work. And that's a problem there, training them. But we've got a couple guys that, we have a few guys that have run mule trains through these mountains. That have, pack goats is a good one. We actually have a ranch that has pack goats. They're huge. And the motorized mountain bike guys, that's a good idea. I don't know how good they are on real rough terrain, though, but we've looked into that. But the people up here just raise, they got llamas everywhere, and they don't really take good care of them. They got, you see people with horses, looks like they've never had a saddle on them out in the field. So they'll be wanting to get rid of them or eat them. Maybe that's why they're keeping them. Maybe they're going to eat them, but there's some opportunities. We're trying to find Lou a yak. I have this image of Lou riding like a yak around with a big old like Mongolian helmet on and a big old sword and telling people to get out of his way.
And his fur pelts.
Yeah, his fur pelts hanging off of it. That would just be cool. It would be great for him. It would just totally fit him. But that's my view. You know, so I keep getting emails. You know, get out of there. We love you, Dutch. Don't live in California. This is where the Lord put me. I mean, I'd rather be in Michigan. I mean, we have a lot of listeners in Michigan, obviously because of Liberty Tree Radio. We have a lot of friends in Michigan now on Facebook that are like, man, you got to get out of there. You got to get out of there. But it's just, you know, this is where we are. This is where we're called to be. We have certain, you know, restrictions. Like I said, my daughter, Kubla Lou instead of Kubla Khan. Yeah. This is where we got to be. And you've got to have that same attitude, maybe. If your finances are like ours and you just can't pick up a pool, you got to just say, well, I got to make the best of where I'm at. But you got to get out of the cities, folks. You know, I keep saying it, and people may get tired of hearing it, but you don't want to be in the cities. But my job's here. My career's here. What's your career going to be worth in a year when there's no economy? You know, what's poking things into a computer to make them buzz going to be useful when, you know, you're fighting over a potato, you know, in an alley somewhere against five guys? What good is that going to do you? Start getting long storage food, seeds, equipment for trade, raw materials. We're doing spices. I tell you that all the time. Spices. Jerky spices. Things you can make jerky with. Not for us just to use, but for us to trade for things that we can't afford now, because it's going to turn upside down. You know, some things will triple in value. Some things will go down in value. We're just, you know, toilet paper. I've told this story before. I think I've told it since I've been on Liberty Tree Radio. We have the toilet paper king of Kauai. The guy doesn't have any money, so what he does is he buys as much toilet paper as he can every month, and he stored it in a safe place where the rats can't get to it and all that. And he puts a little investment into it because he knows that toilet paper is going to be worth a fortune. In not greenbacks, but in labor or materials or food. But that's what he can do, and he knows it. And he's getting, you know, he's not buying single ply institutional government issue toilet paper, he's getting the good stuff. I heard Liberty Radio one time. Coffee, any of the addictive things, coffee, cigarettes. You know, no, I'm not telling you to go out and store heroin, but anything that's legal is going to be worth a fortune.
Don't drink moldy coffee. I heard Mark say something about that.
Mark was talking about moldy coffee. I can't even imagine. I don't even like regular coffee. I can't imagine what moldy coffee would look like.
Don't drink moldy coffee.
Yeah, make you go nuts and start seeing little green men everywhere.
No, it'd probably make you sick.
But these are the times we live in, folks. This is an age of grace. This is a time of grace when the Lord is giving us time to do a lot of things. Get right, of course, first and foremost, right spiritually with the Lord. And secondly, to prepare our families and to reach out to other people. Lots of matches. I love it. I teach these fire starting classes, and I show everybody how hard it is to start a fire with sticks and the magnesium starters and all that. And then I say, but if you just plan ahead and have as many water-resistant matches, or take some matches and dip them in wax so they'll work, why mess with this? Why try to be, you know, less Straub and be able to make a fire, you know, with friction? Why not just prepare and have matches? Think about what they're going to be worth. Somebody's asking if hemp paper would make good toilet paper. I have no idea. But I think hemp's going to really take off, though, because it was big in the, you know, in old Europe and stuff. I mean, until it became an issue, you know, a taboo issue for hemp. I'm not talking about marijuana. I'm talking about hemp itself. It's a good product. Maybe if you know how to grow hemp, you might want to save a bunch of hemp seeds. You could be making rope, canvas. I heard you can make a toaster out of hemp. Some hippie once told me. Okay, whatever, man. You can make toasters out of hemp, man. It's not about the marijuana. And I was like, really? You can make a toaster? Yeah, man. They can, you know, they can make plastics and alloys. I'm like, you can't make alloy out of a plant. Not yet. And he's like, no, man. I read it somewhere, man.
I read it in Mother Earth magazine.
Yeah, Mother Earth magazine said we could make cars out of hemp, man. Sure, when it rains, they'll all swell up. Run on hemp oil. And it's, oh, hey, Chuck, welcome in, welcome in. I used some of your articles in the first hour. Actually, I think I used one. But we're just encouraging people to do whatever they can. I mean, the other day we realized we were running low on batteries, and we're like, man, we got to get some batteries. So after the, I keep saying after the show, after the conference, if we sell some of our stuff from our store, we would go out of our way to make sure we get batteries. But I need a rifle. I don't have a main battle rifle anymore. Mine's falling apart.
Our stuff should be shipped to
me. Yeah, we should get a lot of our stuff in for major soon. Chuck is saying that Ford actually made a car out of hemp. I know that in Europe they made a car out of cotton, so why not hemp? But I heard that when it rains they swell up.
Unfortunately, it was a teeny car.
It was a little tiny car. Yeah, it was a Ford Hot Wheel. Yeah, you know, hemp the wonder plant. You know, there's a big conspiracy against it. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure what the legality is, but why not? I mean, they're going after the marijuana growers here in Central California, even though they're medicinal marijuana growers. But they had like a shootout at one of those places the other day, and somebody got blasted in the face with a shotgun in Fresno County. Yeah, he was stealing my pot plants, man, so I shot him, man. You come in here trying to take my pot. And it was a Russian guy. He had like a Russian accent. I can't do that. And he killed another guy for stealing his medicinal marijuana plant. So now they banned, there's like a moratorium on all new medicinal marijuana in Fresno. So you never know what's going to happen, you know. So I don't know anything about the legality, but yeah, learning the ancient art of hemp growing and harnessing the sinew or whatever it is, you know, the strands of it and making everything out of it, you know, fine. I just don't want to smell like patchouli oil, you know, and that's what I always associate with hemp. All the hippies up here, they smell like patchouli oil to cover up the smell of the marijuana, I guess. Just nasty.
Can't they pick something else?
Huh?
Can't they pick something else?
Pick something else to smell it? Yeah, like just use lotion, you know. Why don't you use patchouli oil?
Body spray.
Go down to Walmart and buy the Axe stuff, you know. Why do they all want to smell like that weird oil? It's kind of strange.
I don't know. It's disgusting.
I don't know what that would do to the bear up here. I don't know if the bear would seek them out because of that. I don't know how dangerous they are. I'm starting to lose my voice. Got a sore throat. Someone's coming in a white four-wheel drive pickup. Get out the window and see where they're going. I don't know who that is. Hang on a second, folks. Where are they going? It's deer season. We got a lot of people coming in because we got deer all over the property.
Is that Roe?
No, that's not Roe. That's an old car. That is not. Where are they going? Lou, lean over, see if he's going up the hill.
Looks like he's going to Bowers.
He's going to Bowers? Okay. Security is my primary role here, so I'm sorry to interrupt the radio show, but now he's backing up. Let's see where he's going. That's what gives me free rent here, that and AV production for the church.
He's turning back.
Giving me a report.
He's turning back.
Last time we had a white Toyota, there was, I can't even go into it, but I don't know, those of you that have been listening to the show for more than 3 years remember what happened last time a white Toyota came on the property and tried to run one of our guys over.
Looks like he's leaving.
People thought we made that up. No. Fortunately, we erased that show.
Careful,
he's leaving.
Yeah, he's
probably just a looky-loo looking for deer. Because it's still archery season here, and everybody knows the deer bed down at the church at night. So it's just about almost, the sun's just setting here in California, at least here in the valley that we're in, so that they can, you know, they can still get a couple arrows out if they see something. We've got a couple of forked bucks here, mostly spikes. The big boys are staying up. The rain was so good this year that everything's still green up high that the deer are not coming down in mass. I mean, we've got our usual 7 or 8, bunch of babies and some does, but... the bigger bucks, they don't come down. They don't have to. There's enough water. There's enough food source for them up there. And I think that's good because I don't want people knowing they're here because mm-hmm. we want them for later. You know, we want deer jerky later when we can't go to McDonald's. Just like the turkey.
Jerky
we got it. Huh?
McDonald's? No, is there jerky at McDonald's?
I don't think so. I don't think they have McJerky. You should write them and tell them. Maybe we'll get a free one. Yeah, we do need security cams, but if you could see where we're at, it would be futile because we can see everything from our big bay window. The only reason we would want a security cam is if I want to go to the bed, you know, go and lay in bed and have a monitor in there. But when we're sitting in here, I can see everything that goes on out the window. And Lou's got my back as we're facing each other. So I have to, when the guy goes past me, you know, rather than me, you know, wrenching my head out the window, I have Lou look at him. Whoever it was left, they probably saw Lou sticking his head out the window and went, oh, they saw me. Not going to poach here tonight. And we don't even care if somebody poaches, to be honest with you. Somebody needs the meat. But we want to keep as many wild animals here. We got wild boar. About 100 turkeys last time I counted. There's like three groups of like 30, 35 turkeys. And the wild boar, I don't even know how to number them. Bears. I wouldn't eat bear again. I had bear when I was 10 for Christmas dinner, and I just never liked it. I don't know if it was prepared improperly or what. When I think my uncle, you know, hit it with his car or something. I don't know if he shot it, but we had like bear roast, and I just remember not liking it. And then I didn't even know it was bear until later. Just like we did to Lou today. I made him eggs and potatoes with chili verde in it and didn't tell him because he doesn't like chili verde.
Well, not with all the sauce.
So I just put a little bit in it to make it a little spicy. I go, honey, like, it's okay, but it tastes a little saucy or something. And I'm like, you ate chili verde. You ate chili verde. Now he's making a face. But we got him to make sure that he knew he ate it. Because I've tricked him before. He said he didn't like spicy stuff when I first met him. When I was a bachelor, all I ate was Spam and potatoes because that's all I could afford. So I'd whip up famous Spam and potato stuff when he'd come up here to work with me, and he'd eat it. And then I'd go, hey, we put onions in there. So, you know, that's cool. boy. Yeah, Thanksgiving is coming, and we'd like to have a few. We've got turkeys in the freezer. I think we got two or three.
I don't know. Hopefully they're not freezer burned.
Yeah, I don't care if they're freezer burned. Still cook them. We'll see what happens. The turkey up here are kind of weird. They're all dark meat, and I don't know why. You know, but I've never run into that. Maybe I'm used to domestic turkeys because I've never hunted turkeys before I came here. To be honest with you, I wasn't an upland game guy. I always wanted to hunt deer, antelope, pig, that kind of stuff. And then I got into upland game when I came here because that's all there was in Southern California. I started hunting quail and stuff like that. Wow, that was a quick. Let me bring it down a little bit over here. Just leave it at the same level. This has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program with about a 10-minute gap in the middle. We thank you for listening. If we lost the first chunk of time here on U Broadcast, but hopefully Olima can get it up in the archives. So make sure you go to dutchjones.tk and check out the archives there. The link to the archives. I want to thank Olima for that. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I want to thank everybody over at Liberty Tree Radio. Remember, check out Liberty Tree Radio. LibertyTreeRadio.4mg.com. LibertyTreeRadio.4mg.com. Send them a little love over there in their pitch-in. And, of course, check out DutchJones.tk. DutchJones.tk. Check out the fan book there, the guest book. Leave some comments. And if you feel the need, go ahead and make a donation at our pitch-in. We got $25. Somebody from Hayward. Thank you, because we're getting closer to our need for $350 for this month. We're two-thirds through the month, and we haven't hit the level we need. We spent a lot of money on a lot of cables. We got the phone working, so nobody called. Went through all this trouble to get the phone, and nobody called. We cried in my recliner. Anyway, remember, God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord. But he's going to be an awesome dad, and he's going to ask you to help. So you better be ready when he puts his hand out and says, yo, come here. Does God say that? That's probably blasphemy. I don't know. We'll talk to you later. Thank you, Olima. Good night, everyone. God bless.
Now let's burn rubber.